This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Breakfast. Henri Depree singing there. Awesome. A man who knows her voice and mine, and you'll know his voice when you hear him, is Professor Dion Foster, all the way from Amsterdam, where he's a theologian and the university research chair there at the Vrije Universiteit. Good morning to you, Dion. Has it got chilly yet? Are you starting to think ahead to the possibility of a snowy Christmas? Good morning.
Morning, morning, Brad. Oh my goodness, the weather has changed.
Oh yeah,
it has changed. So of course, after when was it? The last weekend in October, the clock shifted, and my goodness, suddenly it's just dark all the time. You know.
So I've got you an hour earlier. So I've got you an hour earlier now, do I?
An hour earlier, yeah.
Okay.
But that works perfectly. But this Sunday will be our first real cold snap. I see it's going to -2. So that's when I'd say winter begins.
I would think so. -2 sounds wintry to me. So, so Dion, it's not really so much a South African thing so much anymore, but you'll certainly see people in the UK and other areas be wearing their little poppy. They're poppy away from All Souls Day. When was that? The beginning of November, all the way up until what would have been Tuesday, the 11th, Remembrance Day. A lot of people know about it, others don't. And many will say, well, what does it matter in 2025? But I'll leave answering that question up to you this morning.
Yeah, Brad. So you touched on it. The 11th of November is what is known as Armistice Day. And it is a day of remembrance, and particularly it came about as a remembrance of the women and men who died in the First Great War, so the First World War, and the red poppy became a sort of symbol of that remembrance, thanks to a poem by John McCrane called "In Flanders Fields," and some of our older listeners may remember the words "In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row." And, you know, the poppy was meant to be a sort of the red of the poppy, a reminder of the blood which was shed, and but also the fact that memory is not meant to be something that that captures us in the past. But, you know, a poppy is a living thing that reminds us that even out of brokenness, life can come forth. Now, Brad, our listeners will know this, because of my age, I was one of those South Africans who was conscripted into the Defence Force, and saw combat during my time as a soldier. And one of the things that strikes me about societies in which war is a memory rather than a reality is that it tends to become something a step removed. And and the danger with that is that we sometimes remember wrongly. Now, for those who have been in war-torn areas, and I know amongst our listeners, there are people from the Democratic Republic of Congo, probably like me, there are others, South Africans, Angolans, Mozambicans who are listening, who experience war. You know, there's nothing romantic about war. You know, it is something very violent and frightening, and it is quite destructive. And I'm struck by this notion that as Christians, we have a responsibility for a kind of memory. Memory, in a sense, is moral, and we should never romanticize war. I worry sometimes, you know, the television shows I see, SEAL Team 6, the movies that come out, somehow seem to want to glorify, you know, the strong man or woman, the one who, you know, who offers it all at any cost. For us as Christians, we remember differently. For us, everything should be remembered through the lens of the cross of Jesus Christ. And of course, we're reminded, Stanley Hauerwas, this great theologian, reminds us that the cross is the ultimate act of self-giving sacrifice. It's the sacrifice that ended the need for all hostility. And as we read in Ephesians 2, it reconciles us with God, but also with one another. Of course, that tradition in the scriptures is a very old one. In Micah 4 verse 3, we read that the prophet says they will beat their swords into plowshares. That comes up again of course, in the book of Isaiah. So what's interesting, Brad, I mentioned this to you when I sent you a message yesterday. Here in Europe, they are preparing for war, you know, with Vladimir Putin and Russian on our doorstep. This last week, we received from the municipality a little note in our postbox to say, make sure that you have enough water for 3 days, that your devices are charged, if you have a spare battery pack, hang on to that, and that you have fuel in your car and food for your pets. Because, you know, there have been drones over airports and there have been cyber attacks on water and electricity systems. And, you know, you can see people are tense here, you know.
Yes.
They're worrying about war. Of course, the South Africans on, you know, Facebook and WhatsApp are saying, 3 days without power. I mean, what? That's luxury. but it is a very real, it is a very real threat for some people. And in the midst of this, I've been thinking a lot, you know, what is my role? Now, for those who are in South Africa, for whom this kind of war is a little bit further away, it doesn't mean that there are not wars raging around us. We know, for example, for many of our listeners, there are these drug wars that are raging in their communities with gangsterism. And the question is, how should we be as Christians? Well, the first thing I think that we should do is, I think we should be peacemakers. Remember what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And Brad, I've been thinking about this a lot lately and, you know, speaking to groups and working with churches to say, what might it look like if we committed ourselves to the waging of peace? So we think about the waging of war. It takes planning. It takes sacrifice. It takes investment. It takes a change in lifestyle. Are we willing to do that for peace? Are we willing to say, Jesus, would you help me to count the cost of waging peace? What might it look like? This to begin in my home, perhaps a relationship with someone close to me, perhaps a neighbor, someone at work. What could I do to witness to peace there? So, Brad, maybe just to end this off to say, you know, for me, this Remembrance Day, this Veterans Day has been a wonderful reminder that war is an unnatural thing. It's not romantic. It's not something to be sought for, but peace is the thing that Jesus came to establish on the cross. And those of us who are Christian should be saying, Lord, what can I do to give my life for the sake of peace?
Yeah, that's beautiful. And of course, we're called to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. The idea of war is actually kind of frightening. You know, I was the first year when there was no conscription. So I finished school in 1995, and 1994 was the last group. So we received a letter throughout the course of our matric year at some point to say there's no longer conscription, and you sort of feel this relief because but I'd heard so many stories from my dad about what it had been like and all the things that they did. So there was always that idea, and then television didn't help either in the movies, and it feels like this very cool thing to do and running out there, you know, for your nation and camaraderie and brotherhood and all of those things that as men kind of get us excited. And but in reality, you actually just have a whole lot of very frightened young men who are doing something against their, you know, their greater desire. They'd rather be at home with the people that they love most. So I think we get caught up a little bit in this idea that it is, yes, it's for your country, and yes, you know, we want to be those kind of people that can be counted on, but we've got to also say, what would God call us to? And those two things are massively juxtaposed against one another. So, perhaps we need to be a bit more real. We think what's happening in the news in the Ukraine, in the Middle East, that's not easy for the person who has to pull the trigger or press the button that drops the bomb. You know, those, again, we think like it's nothing, but you can only imagine the hurt and the pain, and maybe you're doing something against your will even, or your better judgment, but you have to do it because you've been ordered to do so. It's massively complicated, isn't it, Dion?
Yeah. And just, you know, one thing. So at the Beyers Nodea Center for Public Theology at Stellenbosch University, where I'm still an extraordinary professor there, we have a project working with ex-combatants. So members of Mkhonto we Sizwe, of APLA, of the South African National Defense Forces, because, you know, the reality is what I've seen certainly for many South African men of a certain age, black, so-called colored white men, many of us have experienced the traumas that you're speaking about, but we can't really talk about them. You know, for many people, it's a moment of shame. You were conscripted into something which was evil and wrong, but the evils you experienced are no less real. And because of the way in which society functions, we silence that. So, you know, it could be that a daughter or a wife, you know, just open up a conversation with your dad, you know, if you know they were in combat, to say, hey, man, you know, how are you doing? What do you think about, how does it feature for you? That opportunity just to be recognized, just to understand that they've been through something, that right memory can be an act of healing.
As the voice of Professor Dion Foster, theologian and university research chair out of the Vrije Universiteit in Amsterdam, flying the SA flag in the dreary cold weather. But we're grateful for you, Dion. Thanks so much for your time, as always, and your heart. Until we connect again.
Thanks, my friend. God bless you. Bye then.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.